time is here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the Reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOA, CAGA, PASLA, SLA, ACRRR, MMDRA, FAIR, CGA, BOB, BYOB.
We don't speak for BYOB?
Well, it is the holidays, you know.
Bring your own bitch.
Ooh. Wow, I've been going to the wrong parties.
Wow. Shelly goes there right off the bat.
Well, you started it before we even started recording.
And I saw a video on Facebook the other day called Basic Bitch. And it's got like this doctor, and he's like, I'm sorry to tell the husband and his wife are sitting there. I'm sorry to tell you this, ma'am, but you're a basic bitch. And she's talking about her posting pictures of her and her friends on Facebook and, you know, we're in Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. He goes, yeah, a basic bitch would post that. And she's like, can I ever be a bad bitch? He's like, I'm sorry, but you'll never be a bad bitch again. Are we having trouble with the...
There you are.
Was I gone?
Just low.
Was I there? Oh, by the way, welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Yay! We were talking right before the... the thing, one of our peanut gallery, Wendy and Pat. Hey, I should say Patrick.
Yeah, I was going to say Wendy and Pat.
Oh,
sounds like one
congratulations,
of those
Patrick.
Androgynous duo.
Congratulations, Patrick.
He just asked his girlfriend to marry him,
and she
and
accepted,
she left.
Which baffles me.
And she ran,
which is why we're congratulating him.
Yeah, but anyway, she brought
we're
up
sending
about
her condolences.
Wendy had brought up about NSYNC. And I mentioned Justin Timberlake, and Shelley's like, I missed that
no,
whole.
Wendy didn't bring up NSYNC.
Era.
Mark did.
Did you bring up NSYNC?
Not from the band point of view, but from the point of view of being on the same page.
And then you went to the band.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wendy didn't have anything
anyway,
to do with
we
that.
Ended up with Justin Timberlake. And Shelley said, oh.
And then 98 Degrees.
He's the guy from, he's the funny guy on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
Bring it on down to Veganville. Apparently you haven't seen that.
No, I haven't seen that one.
He's
matter
of fact,
the one that did the chick, the box, the thing in the box.
Dick in a box.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. He's done
and
a lot of
the mother lover song.
I'm a mother lover and he's a mother lover too. They're trying to decide what they should get each other's mother for Mother's Day. And he goes, I've got an idea. We'll do a switcheroo. So you do my mom and I'll do yours too. How's your day, Mark? Football?
Football. A little cooking.
Yes, thank you. Shout out to Deb.
Yes, we had marvelous spaghetti. And cookies.
Yeah, I haven't seen the cookies yet.
I stood right there. I had the bag in my hand.
She offered you one for half a second.
While
your back was turning, you were working on the computer.
She
really quickly offered you one.
She had the bag in her hand. As I recall, she had it in both hands, kind of in a cupping sort of manner, holding it against her, saying, these are all for me.
It's my precious.
With her right foot raised in a slightly kicking pose.
Yeah.
Want a cookie?
I gave Wendy a cookie. I offered Patrick a cookie. He turned it down, which... Again, baffled. Patrick is baffling me today, apparently.
She didn't offer me a cookie.
Have a cookie. Well, you already had. You made the cookies.
I didn't make them. Debbie made these ones.
Oh.
Mark makes good cookies, though.
Yeah. Do you want one?
He makes
no,
good,
thanks.
He makes good chocolate chip cookies.
I just love the oatmeal ones. The chocolate ones are good, but they're not as good as the oatmeal.
Mark and I went to a meeting, the cookies and milk meeting, and... You know, like, normally you go to a meeting, and they go to, like, the dollar store, and they buy, like, these dollar store cookies. These guys are bringing, like, Pepperidge Farm and badass cookies.
Yep.
And, like, a couple gallons
Federico's
of milk.
Bakery, yeah, it's just, you know.
Yeah, they go to, like, the local bakery and buy them. It's pretty badass. Oh.
What?
You know what that means.
What's it mean?
Oh, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
You're on my cord.
You're on my cord. You're on my pecs. You're on my pecs.
Jeez.
You're getting on my nerves.
Well, you know what's great? You know what's great now? Thanksgiving is long past, and the Christmas music is on, baby.
By the time the show goes up, the Christmas music is going to be over.
No.
No.
Okay.
We'll put one up every day if we have to.
All right. We have shout-outs to Stryker, Carol, Randy, John K., Bill, Georgette, Natalie, Dakota, James, Jack, Kim L., Scott, Sezu, Phil K., and Brian.
Sezu.
Sezu.
Okay. I have to, this is a public service announcement that I have to make first, and it's a public service announcement because y'all don't want to see me if I keep getting this story. We've done, on two separate occasions, we've done stories about people that are creating various products to turn your farts minty smelling. Yes, there's the one that had the guy that has the charcoal pads that you stick in your underwear and then you fart and it smells like mint. And then there's the other guy that we talked about last 2 weeks ago or whatever, the guy that has the pill that you consume that turns your farts into various smells.
Ooh, is this like that Harry Potter thing, that you know, the
Bertie Butts every flavor beans?
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
if you shove a roll of peppermint lifesavers up your ass.
Yeah, that'll work. That'll work too.
But I didn't hear the peanut gallery going yes when I said it though.
Plus it channels.
It channels.
The problem
right.
is if one more person sends me these two stories,
yeah,
I'm going on strike because I have had to look at the picture of that guy's butt with the charcoal pad stuck to it a million times. So, everybody, I've had the minty fart story. It's over.
No more pads in the ass?
No more. I'm going to, and if you keep sending them to, I'm starting to get a complex.
I'm getting a complex because I don't even remember the story.
Is this, yeah, we've done them. Is this, are you sending me this as a news story or is this a hint? And since you don't even, right.
I don't want to tell you about all the various email addresses I've created to send that to you, Shelley, because at night is a real problem.
If I were you.
She attempts the Dutch oven. It doesn't work.
I do not. I'm usually asleep by the time you get in bed.
You're usually getting up by the time he's in bed.
Pretty much.
Not lately.
Okay, you say define lately. Lately is the last two nights.
What's lately?
Last week. That is lately, isn't it?
That's lately.
That is lately.
Okay, well, let's get on to an actual news story now.
Okay.
This one is out of Iowa. Marvin Tremaine Hill II.
Three names and numerals.
Yes. Suffix. He's 21 years old. He's been arrested for domestic violence. Because
what did he do to the sheep?
Well, no, it was his pregnant wife. She called the police because he beat her with a McDonald's McChicken sandwich.
I have no response to that.
I got no place to go there.
You got no place to go? His wife woke him. She woke him up at about 1 o'clock. She had a McChicken sandwich with her. Now, keep in mind, this is a pregnant woman, so her food choices are going to be dubious at best.
He beat up a pregnant woman?
With a chicken sandwich.
And he became angry, grabbed the chicken sandwich, and said, "I don't like these," threw it at her, then took the bun and smashed it in her face. When she ran away into the bathroom, he got his cell phone and started recording her and, like, got right in her face, and she pushed the cell phone out of his hand, like, knocked it out of his hand. But he did that specifically. He went after her to make her look aggressive.
Oh.
So then the cops got there, and she's, like, covered in bits of McChicken sandwich. And they're like, yeah, that didn't work, dude.
Hit her with a rubber biscuit.
Yeah, a rubber biscuit.
It reminds me of the Monty Python skits where the knight comes in on roller skates and whacks people with the rubber chicken.
Yeah, I'm. That's a rough one for spousal abuse.
Not a lot going on in Iowa, huh?
Apparently not. I hear
it was
a chicken sandwich.
Oh, well, you know.
Can you see him talking to the other guys in prison? What are you in for?
Hitting my wife with the
chicken sandwich.
They go, "Where were you? Walmart?"
Bill sent this story in. The American Red Cross is apparently not as honest as they claim they are.
He's coming down, by the way.
Yes, I know. I'm very excited. Next weekend.
Awesome.
Oh, my gosh. That means I got to finish cleaning the crap room. Oops.
Yeah.
Gail McGovern, the Red Cross CEO, has basically said, well, yes, we said that, but that's not what we meant.
Okay.
What?
For months and months and months and months, they've been saying that, you know, they're one of the best charitable organizations on the planet because 91 cents of your dollar.
Now, who's this?
The CEO says this.
Of what
organization? American Red Cross.
Red Cross.
Okay. Come on, keep up. Keep up, dude.
Easy, easy. Wow.
They've been saying,
owe me amends after this.
91 cents out of every dollar goes directly to their charitable services.
Yeah. Apparently not, is what I'm guessing.
No, not even really close. In fact, after they were audited, it may be somewhere around 70 cents of every dollar, 65
That's
cents.
Good.
It's a rounding error.
It's a rounding error.
It's still pretty good.
But
it's a big organization. It costs a lot of money to run.
Yeah, and their primary focus is actually not disaster relief services. The American Red Cross is basically a mobile blood bank. That's what they do. The disaster relief stuff is sort of a sideline. They just have, because there's been so many big disasters, have gotten quite the name for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that number doesn't surprise me either. I'm fine with that. What everybody's ticked off about is that they're lying about it and saying, oh, it's 91 cents.
You know, there is the whole honesty thing.
They didn't lie, they misrepresented.
They're changing their statement. They said that an average of 91 cents of every dollar they spend goes to disaster services, not the actual goods.
Including paying our people.
Yes.
Okay.
And they said that's what they meant all along, but that's not what they said.
So then what does the other 9% go to?
I don't know.
Administrative costs.
Cheese puffs.
Cheese puffs.
Cheetos.
This story came out of San Diego. Sent to me by several people, and I found it myself. Federal courthouse in San Diego had to be shut down. They had to call the bomb squad. They evacuated quite a wide area, put up a cordon around what appeared to be possibly an electric sort of exploding device.
And
what was it, a PS3 or something?
Well, I'll quote one of the bomb squad people. It was oblong, egg-shaped, you could say. I think it was aluminum. It had a cord coming out of it, and it was attached to a small plastic box.
Boom box?
It's a dildo.
That contained a battery. It was a sex toy. They evacuated. Mark got it.
Thank you.
They evacuated a courthouse and, you know, a couple square blocks around it, cordoned off the area, shut half of San Diego down because of a sex toy.
Now, here's the big question. Who is taking a sex toy with them to court?
And it was on the courthouse steps. It wasn't like it was hidden in a corner. It was like somebody dropped it out of their purse.
Oh, you know what it was? Because they search everyone when they go into court now. You don't want to pull your vibrator out and put it in the tray.
Yeah.
That's not kosher.
Excuse me, ma'am, your purse is vibrating.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just my phone.
Someone calling you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was the prosecutor in a particularly bad mood that day?
After they lost their vibrator, they were.
I forget who sent this one in. The epidemic of opioid overdoses is continuing.
Is there an epidemic of opioid overdoses?
Yes, it's Farmageddon, remember? And there's an interesting sort of inverse wave action going on here with most of the opioid overdose deaths happening in people 45 to 60 and most of the heroin opioid overdose happening in people that are in their 20s and 30s. Yeah. Because people are getting addicted to, what's happening is people get addicted to OxyContin and Vicodin and stuff like that. Older people have medical issues for which they can doctor shop successfully, and younger people don't. Yep. So when they run out of pills, they go on heroin. And now heroin, although there's been a slight decrease in Oxy deaths, overdose deaths, there's been a much larger increase in heroin overdose deaths.
I think the larger question is, of the older people overdosing, how many are doing it on purpose?
The bigger question is, why aren't kids raiding mom and dad's medicine chests like they used to?
Yeah, right?
They're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Let's take these. They're pretty.
Oh, and also the efforts to make the painkiller, the pills, less abusable, not helping. They just take more pills. They can't crush them because then they won't work.
Oh,
so they just take more pills.
By the way.
Yes.
I wanted to have an update on that gigantic Ebola outbreak we were having in the U.S. Oh, wait. We didn't.
There were three.
Remember that?
There were
people
three.
Were walking around Dallas with masks on and stuff, and it's like, really?
You know what? Honestly, if I were living in that area, I would have done the same thing.
Would that have helped?
It doesn't matter whether it would have helped.
I think it did.
Well, yeah. Clearly it did.
Stopped it cold. See?
Stopped it cold.
It worked.
Dallas.
It worked, Bruce.
That's true.
Yeah, so you're wrong.
Thank God we stopped it by doing that.
Okay, this is kind of an interesting oddities in the news story.
Because the other ones haven't been on so far.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lost painting. Who was this artist? I can't remember. At any rate.
So what did I can't paint? Is it related to Rembrandt?
No.
Remember?
Oh, here we go. Hungarian avant-garde artist Robert Berini, whatever.
He painted a Chef Boyardee can.
He painted a painting. I'm having trouble speaking right now.
It's hard to paint a drawing.
If he painted a sculpture.
I'm having a hard time speaking right now. It was called Sleeping Lady with Black Vase.
Let me guess what was in it.
A sleeping lady in a black vase.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's an awesome guess.
He painted it.
It was impressionist. We got it right away.
And he sold a number of his paintings around that same period, but there's only ever been photographs of this particular painting because it disappeared when some things were stolen. Missing for a bazillion years. This art critic was watching Stuart Little, you know, the movie 1999 with Gina Davis and stuff, with his kid. In the background of the Little's living room, he sees a picture that looks familiar. He's like, that can't possibly be it. So he called the studio, explained who he was, what he wanted to do. The studio found out who the set decorator was at that time. Yeah. He got in touch with her. The set decorator found the masterpiece in a secondhand shop for pennies, basically, in L.A., and bought it because she thought it would go well with the Little's ambiance on the set. And then when they broke down the set and everything, she just took it home with her and stuck it on the wall.
Huh.
That's what I'd claim.
Yeah. She had bill of sale. She had all the paperwork and stuff. She had no idea it was
a
masterpiece.
Bill of sale from a
thrift shop?
From a thrift shop.
Well, she had to save it to get reimbursed if she wanted to. You save your receipts. Jeez.
You just said she
You think the worst of everybody.
You just said she paid pennies for it.
Yeah, JCPenney's. That's where she
bought
it.
It's a figurative statement.
I have a trivia thing about lost art.
What?
I was watching a thing on the making of Dr. Strangelove. Not Dr. Strangelove. A thing on the making of Thunderball, James Bond. And it wasn't even Thunderball. It was Dr. No. Dr. No, in his super lair or whatever, has this painting there that apparently they put in there because it had just disappeared from the Louvre or something in France. So they added this painting in that Dr. No had stolen this painting.
Oh.
As you can tell, I watched a number of the making of shows in a row. A bunch of them.
Have you had some time on your hands?
You know the way YouTube is. You get some and then suddenly there's another video you want to watch, and then there's another one. Then pretty soon you're into, like, weird Japanese porn and stuff.
You went from Dr. No to Japanese porn.
It's not that many steps.
In three clicks.
Yeah, it's not that many steps, let me tell you.
And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news. The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment.
For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
Back.
Welcome back.
Your dreams were your ticket out.
Okay.
You know what I was saying last Christmas, Shelley?
Did she give you her heart?
The very next day, she gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to her back again.
It's Christmas season, Shelley.
Yeah, she made me. I was very good about
that. That's why I am not telling him to stop.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to pipe it into the room at night. Now she's giving me the look. So, Shelley, we have a topic.
Yeah, and I've forgotten which one we were going to do.
From, is it Aaron or Aaron? I don't know.
Well, see, okay.
Is it like an umlaut over it?
There's
or something?
An umlaut over her name, so I'm not exactly sure how you pronounce it. It might be Arn. Aaron. Arn.
I'll bet it's Aaron. Like how you would think E-R-I-N would be.
Unless the topic is how to pronounce her name, we should probably keep moving forward.
Well, you know,
well, we
but if we're
going
to give a shout out, we got to make it sound at least like we halfway know what we're talking about.
Which we don't.
Probably would have been a good thing to ask her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the topic is, Shelley?
Something about people dying.
Yes. People dying.
In recovery.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, in recovery and also not in recovery. You know, the both sides of the coin, because there are people that die that are sober. And, of course, fellowship, you know, comes around in a big way. And there are people that die as a result of alcoholism and things without ever getting to the program. And then there's those that get to the program and end up dying not sober. Now, we've all seen it. Shelley, you have a lot of experience with a couple of people, actually. One who died sober, but had gotten, you were taking him around to meet and stuff, he'd gotten Alzheimer's, he got quite sick near the end.
Yeah, Harvey. And yeah, he died sober, wasn't he? But he was senile at the end. And where am I supposed to go with that?
Forward.
Well, how did the fellowship come around?
Oh, totally rallied around. There was a huge memorial for him. There was a huge, big service. Tons. There were so many people that wanted to speak at his service that they had to, like, assign people numbers in order of importance. You know, they had to not
numbers.
Let,
of, you get there and they give you a number. It's like number 310. You're like, oh.
Yeah, they could only
they
allow
don't like me.
A certain number of people. So it had to be the people he was really, really close to.
I was going to say, how'd they figure out who was important.
Yeah, to Harvey.
Yeah, I don't think it really mattered who was important to Harvey. I think it probably mattered who
was important to whoever
was
left.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because I drove Harvey around to meetings for
a long time.
Yeah, like 4 or 5 months in his last year. And this was the thing that really made me sad is because the guy that had been driving him around for years, they were like running buddies, went off the rails. And I only had 2 years sober at the time, and he comes to me after a meeting one day, and he tells me that I'm the only person he trusts with Harvey. And I thought, how sad is it you've spent 20 years in the program, and the only person you can trust is somebody who's only got 2 years that you really don't know as well as you know all these other people? But
he knew the other people well enough not to trust them.
Basically, I guess so. But it was actually quite an honor because, I mean, He was kind of legendary, sometimes not in a good way.
Who?
Harvey.
And Harvey saved my life.
He did. He saved a lot of people, but he was also a lech.
But the guy, the other guy you were talking about, who asked you to drive him around, actually died not sober around the program. He had 20-something years. And a number of things happened. A former girlfriend of his overdosed.
Yeah.
And Harvey, who he was really invested in taking him around to meetings and things, spending almost every day with him. Then Harvey was gone, and he went off the rails.
He lost his rudder.
And
and it's like, that, to me, that was an object lesson in don't make other people the basis of your recovery. Your reliance has to be on a higher power.
True.
But after Harvey passed, I mean, it was very emotional for a lot of people. I could have probably been allowed to speak at his service because I spent time with him at the end, but I don't go to a lot of funerals in recovery anymore.
Did Black Widow speak?
I don't know. I wasn't there, honey.
Oh.
I didn't go. I just said I don't go to a lot of services for people who die in recovery anymore. And I will specifically tell people that are talking, they're romancing the drug. I've done it in meetings. I just want to get loaded. I don't want to be an alcoholic. I hate this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, well, you know what? I ain't coming to your funeral. I will tell them that because I'm not going to.
Are you coming to mine?
Maybe.
Okay.
I'm not good with funerals. I'm really not.
Are you kidding? Out of this three right here, I'm going to go first. I mean, you know.
No. Well, I kind of have to go to yours. Okay.
I kind of have to go to yours. How about you, Mark?
We'll throw a great party for you.
How about you, Mark? People in the program or out of the program or dealing with death in general?
I had a guy I sponsored who died sober. And you know, I looked at it and thought, it's not one day at a time for him anymore.
That's true.
He will now stay sober forever.
He won.
He'll never use again.
He won.
He did win. He did win. He's one of the winners. He made it to the finish line.
I remember a guy when I was at Las Encinas, and
Shelly looks a little perplexed by that comment.
You said he'll be sober forever.
He will.
I was kind of hoping that when I get to the finish line,
uh-huh,
that I'll be allowed to drink like a gentlewoman.
Oh.
I got to be sober forever.
Shelly, aren't you going to be making coffee at that big meeting in the sky?
I'm going on a hunt for Freddie Mercury and whatever members of Van Halen have passed away, and I'm going to party.
Wow.
It's heaven. The gloves are off.
Whatever you do, though, don't step on a duck.
Yeah, exactly. Don't step on a duck.
No, but there was a guy at Las Encinas when I was in there, I wasn't in there anymore, but I was attending meetings there regularly, mm-hmm, and he had been in the unit, and he had AIDS. And he was going to die of AIDS, and he stayed sober the whole time.
Yeah, but this is the question I always ask people. Is there tons of merit in dying sober? I mean, you don't get extra brownie points. It's not like...
You get a better seat in heaven.
I don't think so.
Oh, well, let's
That's
hear,
not the way it works.
You know what? That's an interesting sideline on this. How about that? Let's say you get extremely sick.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer or something. Mm-hmm. You gonna party, Shelly?
Well, I can't exactly use marijuana for pain relief because the smell of it just makes me sick.
So they made edibles.
Well, that's true. They do.
You could get marijuana butter. She'll be eating toast all the time.
Melissa Etheridge. She just made a wine infused with cannabis.
She'll be having toast and waffles and pancakes, just baked potatoes. She'll just be slathering the butter on everything.
I don't know. I mean, if you're that sick that you're in that kind of condition, you probably not want to drink because you'll feel sicker. Hmm. So that's kind of a moot point.
I always wonder that, though, like a thing like cancer, because they're going to give you pain meds at some point. Now, if the intent, though, is to get rid of the pain, I don't see any problem with that.
Yeah, I don't either.
Well,
especially if you're on your way out.
Yeah.
Some people... Wait. What?
Is weed
Is weed acceptable
if you have cancer? That's what the peanut gallery wants to know. Yeah.
Does it matter?
Well, my understanding, and I could be wrong about this, but my understanding is there is, you know, there's a lot of good things that weed can do for cancer. And my understanding is that there's a lot of synthesized drugs that have the same features that weed has that allow you to get the same benefits from weed without actually having to smoke.
But let's go back to your question. Does it really matter?
Well, okay. It depends. Well, you know what? I'll give you a for instance. Uh-huh. It depends because probably as many people that get cancer live from cancer as pass away from cancer. So a lot of with the specific question of weed, if people go to chemotherapy, they get extremely upset stomachs, and weed is extremely good at that. And these people may not be going to pass away, but – you know, then I get the question, you know, it's like, oh, what if I smoked weed? Well, see, I think it's the intent.
Yeah. Because here's my question. You're going through chemotherapy and you're smoking pot.
Yeah.
And you finish your chemo and there's no trace of the cancer.
Yeah.
And you stop smoking the pot.
Right.
And you had 16 years when you came down with cancer.
Do you still have 16 years? Yes.
I think so.
Because the intent was not, you're not partying. You're not getting loaded. You're solving a side effect from the medication to save your life. I think you still have 16 years.
But I get tired easy, and cocaine does a great job of fixing that.
Tired is not a terminal illness.
Yeah.
It'll be a terminal illness if you keep going on like that.
No, it's a side effect of getting older.
I'm a little tired right now. Maybe
Mark I'm just saying.
Give me your bank card.
In between shows, Mark and I are going to take a little trip out to Holt in Pomona.
Bruce has another truck.
This show has gone so off the rails.
I do have another truck.
We can go pick stuff up from people.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, but what?
The other end of this. One of the main reason why I don't go to a lot of funerals and for people in recovery is because of the first funeral I went to. When I had about a year. And I was the secretary of a meeting, and we had a coffee maker named Vahe. And everybody loved this guy. He was so much fun. He was upbeat. He was friendly. He showed up and did the bang-up job on the coffee. He talked a good program.
Mm-hmm.
He had
I'm just saying, because we know what happens when you're talking a good program.
He had a sponsor, the sponsor didn't come to the meetings that we came to, and I don't ever remember meeting his sponsor.
Was that a criteria for being sober?
But it's just, there were undercurrents, there were other things going on, and I remember the last few meetings I saw him at, he seemed a little off color. He wasn't loaded, he hadn't had a drink at that point.
But something was going on,
and I kept trying to talk to him, and he would make jokes and talk around the subject and stuff. And I was real uneasy about it, and then he missed a meeting. And he hadn't missed a meeting in, 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
missed a meeting without calling.
Yeah, without calling, with nothing. Ooh. And then I tried calling him, and I got his answering machine, and I left a message, and I did that for, 3 days in a row. And then New Year's Eve, we found out we had... Yeah, because it was right after Christmas. We got a call and found out that he had put a bullet in his head. Because the reason he had been so unsettled at the meetings, the last couple of meetings I saw him at, was because he'd had a drink. And he didn't know emotionally. He was so upset because he felt he had done so well in his recovery. The guilt overwhelmed him. And he took his own life rather than stand up in the meeting and say he was a newcomer again. Mm. And...
Does the program make too big of a deal out of continuous sobriety?
I don't think they make too big of a deal about it. It's just I think that it's so highlighted in meetings when somebody comes back. It's the, oh, glad you're back. Oh, you know, it's like I said. I think sometimes it embarrasses people. They're like, I just want to come back and get my recovery back on track. I don't need people, you know, trumpeting it.
You know who it's a big deal to? Who? The person who went out.
Right.
Because, you know. I know a lot of people that have done the rubber band theory in and out and in and out, and I think it's because it was the first time that he went out, or, you know, it was the time he went out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To him, it was a big thing, because I know other people that have gone out. Lee Richardson,
mm-hmm.
Which I probably shouldn't have said it like that.
I was about
that.
To say, yeah. okay. And you know I'm not going to remember to edit that out.
This is Lee Richardson from Kissimmee, Florida.
Oh.
he used to be on the show. At one time, he had 10 years.
Dude.
Yeah, but he would share this.
You're just digging a hole.
He's not that anonymous. He had 10 years. He went out. He came back, which I have always had an extreme amount of oh, my God, I can't believe you did that.
Came back?
And then he came back. Then he got 4 years, and he went out, and he came back, got 2 years, came back, got 1 year. And it's like, you know, to him, it was no problem after the first time.
Right.
But, you know, apparently for Vahe, it was.
And I knew when we got into the meeting that night and he wasn't there again, I knew there was something wrong.
Shelly told me there was something wrong.
That
whole women's intuition thing.
Yeah, and I was just devastated by his death. I felt like not necessarily I could have done something more or somebody could have fixed it or whatever because he wasn't talking to anybody. But then at his funeral, only like everybody acted like they were really broken up about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then at his funeral, only like, I think there were like four of us out of probably 20 people that used to go to that meeting that knew him and that went to his services.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of felt like people were doing the, you know, shaking their heads like, oh, it's such a tragedy. You know, well, he got loaded, as if that made him a bad person or something. It really bugged me at the time. And I that funeral just really, really upset me. And so I have not actually been to another funeral in recovery, and now it's, you know, 7 years after his. So
I've been to funerals.
Yeah.
Just not recovery funerals.
Yes.
I've never been to a recovery funeral.
In 25 years, you've never gone to a memorial for somebody in the program?
Oh, I've been to plenty of memorials.
Oh.
Things at the club and service. Things like that. Right. Because, well, I don't know why, but I just never have. I've been to lots of memorials.
I've been to one. My sponsee. That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't go to funerals.
Then there's, how about dealing with death in other ways? Like, I lost my father and my brother.
Yeah, within 2 years of each other.
Yeah, within a couple of years of each other. And I think the important thing to talk about or to remember on that, or the thing that I would say would be important is, you don't need to go out over that stuff. You know, going out and getting loaded doesn't bring anybody back. It doesn't make any situations better. It only makes your situation worse.
True.
Now, you lost your grandmother. Great-grandmother? Grandmother. Great.
I lost two grandmothers, a grandfather and a great-grandmother. Because I was close to all of them.
Now, were you in recovery for some of those? Any of those?
My Mimi and my Papa, yeah.
Right.
Both of them. And I went to Mimi's funeral, but they had Papa's funeral too fast for me to be able to get out there, because this is in Cincinnati. But funerals in my family, on my mom's side, it is freaking party time. On my dad's side, not so much. My mom's family, I think, I'm pretty sure that my granny's funeral was the one something neighbors called the cops.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I want the cops called for my funeral. How about you, Mark?
The SWAT team. I want the full. I want full battle dress showing up.
Have you lost any relatives since you've been sober? You've been sober a long time.
My father passed away when I had 10 years, and I was able to be there.
And you didn't find it necessary to drink.
I didn't find it necessary to drink or use.
That's what you said about you could be there. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
I could be there. I mean, he spent the last 9 months at home because he wanted to die at home, and he made it real clear he wanted to die at home. And that presented some real serious challenges the last week or so.
Mm. I'll bet.
And, you know.
Yeah, and my, to that same notion, you know, the thing is that, you know, we're not responsible for trying to follow them down the same road by getting loaded. You know, my dad got to see me be sober for years, you know, which was fortunate. Your father got to see you be sober for years. Mm-hmm. It's a hell of a lot better than
what they saw before that.
Yeah, you know, being very sick and going, and, you know, you got this kid who's just jacking everything up. So, Shelly, what would your final words be?
My final words be on the subject that we didn't talk very much about.
What are you talking about?
What else did we talk about?
Because the original subject was that she wanted to discuss how people come together in time, you know, times of death and crisis in the program, and we sort of went all over the map.
Well, that's what we do here.
Oh, that's true.
Well, we were talking about that.
That's true.
Oh, that's why you kept trying to take it back to there. I told you we'd go wherever we wanted to, no matter what the topic was.
I know. It's like trying to herd cats. So what? My final words to what?
Cats kissing dogs.
To the topic. Deer balls and forgiveness.
No.
Greatest topic name of all time.
Yep.
Go to Mark.
Mark, what are your final words?
He who makes it to the end clean and sober wins.
Shelly,
you're giving me that look. It's like we're all going to die.
Right. Yes. But it's not a contest.
God's not going to hold it against me whether I show up clean or dirty. We're all cleansed in the eyes of the Lord.
Yes, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Well, no, oh, wait, that's a specific religion which we don't talk about. Sorry.
Sure we do. We're not programmed.
Well, that's true.
We don't speak for all the alphabets.
That's true.
We can say whatever the hell we want.
Shelly's just looking forward to meeting up with a guy that can turn water to wine.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't think of that. Wow. Okay, I need to get on the computer so I can look, you know, do the death calculator and find out when that's going to happen.
When you're going to die?
I don't know. One of the best things about recovery is being there for other people. And that's one of those situations we can be there for other people.
But they're dead. They don't care.
You're not there for them. Oh. You're there for the other people that need comforting.
Never mind.
My final words on this is I've already outlived the death calculator. I'm already supposed to be gone.
Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock.
That the truth?
Like I said earlier, give me your bank card.
No, I mean, I took one of those things in recovery and online and said I was going to make it to 52. I'm 53. It's happening any day now.
You're 53? I thought you were 52.
Yeah, okay, I'll be 52 again.
Okay.
Shelly, who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
Wait, where was I? 12-Step. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
Mark.
Yes.
We have other folks that listen to the show.
And we appreciate that very much.
We do.
We ask that however you find our show and listen or download or do whatever you do, that you go visit our site at recovery101.net or last30days.com.
Yes.
I love that. We actually get people who say, I found it by doing that. Yeah. So, and go onto our site. You'll get an opportunity to join Podomatic. Please do so. What's going on back here?
Rearranging
Wendy's
furniture.
Adjusting.
Wendy's adjusting. Okay. So, have you adjusted well? Okay.
So, I'm good now. And,
go join Podomatic and like and download and follow and leave comments and add us to your playlists and do all that fun stuff that we ask you to do that help our numbers and ratings. Thank you.
And if you are Facebook friendly, it's real easy to sign up for Podomatic. You can just use sign in with Facebook. And they will not spam you. At least I have an account signed up that way, and they've never spammed me. You will get email updates anytime any podcast you follow puts up a new show, and that's kind of handy. If you are Facebook friendly, by the way, you can like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. If you want to be a little more anonymous online, you can join the Recovery 101 group. That is a closed group. You have to ask to be a member. If you ask, ye shall receive. If you spam, ye shall receive the slipper of death. We have an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure as hell don't. Shelly, who's the lead on music by?
I'm going to go off the wall here. I'm going to use Evelove.
Evelove. Wow. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Strip me away of all of my things, leave me with nothing to spare. Take all I have and leave nothing unturned, leave me with nothing but air. Take it away, take it away. I'm tired and I fought all I can. Tried holding on, yes, I tried for too long. I'm letting go. Letting go of everything. Take it away from me. Take away everything. Leave me with nothing but me. Nothing can hold me back. If there is nothing left, breaking the cycle of need. So I let it all go. Just let it flow.